We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word, that through it we are reminded that you're with us and that you have given so much in our life that we may know you. Lord, we pray that through that knowledge of you, we know your Son and give our lives to you in every way you want us to, that your light might shine in us and through us. We pray for the reading of this word today, that all that is from you changes us, even if it's just a little. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Page 155 in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 to 18. Hear now God's word. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by close people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This comes at a timely moment in our lives. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. Now, Paul loves the Corinthians. He loves them very much. But the Corinthians aren't doing so hot. There's a lot of arguments amongst them, and Paul wants to try and clear that up. I guess one of the things Paul says is what I say to my kids constantly. Can't we all just play nice with one another? You see, Paul's people in Corinth are arguing with one another, and the basis of the argument is who it is they follow. Some say, as we've read, I follow Paul, some Apollos, some Cephas, Peter, and others, I follow Christ. What's the whole point of that? Why make a distinction of who one follows over another? Usually when we have arguments like this, and it sounds like this from the Corinthians' point of view, that we do so to try and validate who we are above somebody else. I follow Paul. You might follow Apollos, but Paul is much better than Apollos, for Paul started us. And Paul has greater authority than Apollos. He says, no. Apollos was far more influential than Paul and helped to grow the church that much more than Paul ever did. Paul may have started it, but Apollos made it blossom. I follow Apollos because he's so much better than Paul. And then there's I follow Cephas. I follow Peter because, I don't know, because Peter's the rock. And Peter's the best. And that's why I follow Peter. No. All of you are wrong because I follow Jesus. And Jesus is the best. And so, therefore, I am more valid than you are. So many arguments. So many things that they fight over. And this was important to them. It was threatening to split relationships with one another. Because they thought their way was better than the next. You know, we have a lot of arguments about a lot of things in life. I would like to say that me and my wife agree over everything. We don't. In fact, I get the feeling that any of you who has been with anyone else for any length of time may have figured out that you have some things that you don't agree on. It's so bad, in fact, that I think sometimes I don't even agree with myself on occasion. That I can't make up my mind about one thing or another. My kids and I definitely don't agree over certain things. About when to go to bed, when to get off your tablets, when to eat food that's on your plate, how much food to eat. We disagree all the time about stuff. And Paul is asking us to do what sounds like the impossible. Let me get Paul's words for us. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. Now keep that in the back of your mind. What is the church? Now the big C church, not just Trinity Church. But what is church? Church is foundation. Church is the body of Christ, right? It's the people, which is the body of Christ. Now, Trinity United Methodist Church is the church. It's a church. It's a part of that vast body of Christ. The United Methodist Church, it's the church. That's just part of the church. The church is made up of the Lutherans, the Presbyterians, the Catholics, the Independents, the Baptists, and any others that I know that I'm missing. Do we all agree? If we look at Paul's writing, that all of you be in agreement and that there will be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Are we? It doesn't feel like it. I mean, are we already just looking at Paul's writings and saying, chuck it out the window? I mean, we don't follow it anyway. Imagine if we tried to be of the same mind, we would still find things to fight over. Many of you have been in church leadership positions, and you know that even within people who love one another so very much, there's major disagreements. Fighting over so many things. Every pastor points to the same thing when we think about fighting inside the church. Every pastor thinks about the same thing. It's fighting over color carpet. How many of you got into fights over color carpet? Or what paint you should use, or what color the paint. I mean, all these little things that we fight over. But when we look at different denominations, we have different disagreements about different things. Presbyterians believe in predestinations. United Methodists believe in free will. And Baptists believe that you should be baptized, submersed in water completely, where Catholics believe that, just little sprinkles, good enough. And all these different disagreements. Are we done? I mean, can we look at the church and see unity? Or should we just chuck that part out the window and say, we'll do the best we can on our own? I have a thought about denominations in the church. I actually like them. I like denominations a lot. I went to West Virginia Wesleyan College for 2.5 years, and then I transferred to California University of Pennsylvania for a girl. The closer I came to her, she broke up with me. She couldn't handle me that close, which is fine. It all worked out. But while I was at West Virginia Wesleyan College, I was talking to someone. We had a conversation for about 10-15 minutes. In the middle of the conversation, they stopped me, and they said, "Are you from Pittsburgh?" I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "I could tell. Just the way you talked, I could figure it out that you're from." I didn't even say Yins. Whole 10-15 minutes, I didn't even say Yins. I said, "I knew you were from Pittsburgh. You heard different accents that people have from all over the United States. You try to talk to someone who has a Cajun accent. It's sketchy. They're speaking English, but you just can't quite get it." But it's the same language. When I think of denominations, I think the same thing. That denominations are just different accents of the same message. We're all saying the same thing, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we need to give our lives to Christ. We're just all saying it in slightly different ways. That as we worship here today in Trafford, that we're also worshiping. There's Baptist church down the streets is worshiping. There's Catholic church up the roads worshiping. There's the New Horizons church over there. Is that their name? What's their name? Riverside. They're worshiping over there. What's the big one there? I can never remember. I knew it's Life something. Christian Life down there. They're worshiping. Are we divided? I like to think that we're just in different places worshiping the same God. Because that accent we understand better than all the others. Because what binds us, and what as Paul was saying, is Christ divided? Because what binds us is Jesus Christ. The desire to know Christ more in our lives, the desire to draw closer to Christ. We may not all agree on specifics, but we all agree on the love of Jesus. We all agree that people that Christ gave to us in our lives are precious. And so that is what Paul wants people to bind them together and draw them together into a future. We may not agree on certain things, but that's okay. We don't have to, because we're all serving Christ. And as we look at our United Methodist Church, however it may move forward into the future, separated along certain lines or together in spite of those lines, the truth is that we can all move together in love for Christ. There's a scripture in the Bible that has long been challenging to me. It's in the book of James. James chapter 3. Is it chapter 3? Chapter 3, verse 17, about wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. When we think about who's right and who's wrong, oftentimes we want to put our rightness in front of others. I'm right about this. You're wrong about this. I'm better. I know what is the best way to move forward. James says that the wisdom that comes from above is willing to yield. To say, you know what? I really think that this is the right way, but that's okay. We'll try your way. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. Okay, then if I do that, then I could say something like, I told you so, when their plan fails. No, this is willing to yield out of love. That if their plan does fail, you don't say, I told you so, but you're there for support. And if their plan works, then you rejoice with them and celebrate because Christ brought us through. When I think about how to move forward in the midst of disagreements, as Paul was saying, what I think about is that the relationships that we have with one another and relationships that we have with God is far more important than being right or being wrong. Paul wants us to move forward because Christ brought them together. And Paul wants us to follow Christ together. I pray that as we look forward to our future and disagreements come up, and they will, that we remember that it's the relationships that God gave us for one another, the relationships that God gave us with Christ, that is the most important. And so, with Christ, we move forward to a future we may not know what it looks like, but we move forward together out of love.